Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Here is Damon Amendola. Let's go to it. DA, brother, what's
First
going
all,
on? How are you?
Up, brother? I'm doing great, man. I find it somewhat hysterical Matt, or anyone, comes after me for my oversized chiclets. So now it's a slam to have all of your straight white teeth. Ha ha, look at this loser with his bright white smile. Yeah, Matt, that really kills me inside. But this makes sense for Matt, you see, because with his meth addiction, lack of dental coverage, and since he uses remnants from a discarded wig for floss, his teeth are turning brown and falling out. So I look really weird to him. I have more vowels in my last name than Matt has incisors in his entire family. Matt, have you ever seen my show? There's a cartoon behind me of my huge teeth. I'm proud of it. Like Cher's nose, like Strahan's gap, like the Cablet Asian's 23andMe report. It's my signature. And yes, I'm now going to chew Matt up with these monsters and spit out his bones. Matt, you really want to start doing physical appearance jokes? I mean, I don't. It's low-hanging fruit. But you went there first. So Matt takes being in the jungle to a new level. He looks like he just wandered out of the jungle after 6 years as a POW from the set of Three Amigos. I don't stoop to physical appearance jokes, so I'll avoid mentioning Matt's sunken eyes, the scraggly neck beard, the sloping bald head that gleams in the fluorescent lights at your local pawn shop. I mean, Bert from Sesame Street thinks your eyebrows need trimming, Matt. I notice you're a fan of Jesus on your Twitter page. Well, you're going to need them today. The clones can't agree on anything. I mean, anything. The jungle is like the Rockets' locker room. Except for hating Matt. I've never seen so much unity inside the jungle. It's just one more person to bump Matt when I saw a clone yesterday ask Amy Trask on Twitter to enter the smack-off. I mean, I love Amy. She's amazing. But clones are begging the nicest, sweetest person ever, Amy Trask, to fight with clones just so we don't have to hear Matt. I'm not doing this for me. I'm not doing this for you, Jim. I'm doing this for America. This is a business trip for me. I didn't start this, but I'm here to end it. See, Matt, you thought you'd have your 15 seconds of fame, take a run at a made man, and you messed up. You entered a game you can't win. This is Tyson versus Burbick because, you know, I've got a few competitive advantages. For one, I can speak English. I have beyond a second-grade reading comprehension. I can piece together a real sentence. My brain doesn't shut down on words with more than one syllable. I once read a book cover to cover that wasn't a car manual. I'm actually entertaining. I've got a sense of humor. This is not a fair fight. Uh-oh! Jim, you've got your all-stars. I'm pouring one out for the Cablet Asian, Leffen Laguna, Brad and Corona, Silk, Iafredi, the rest of the smack-off champs of the last 25 years. Those dudes are special. Matt in L.A. is none of that. He's a leech. You have the show, the clones have the takes, and Matt is just the suckerfish on the shark that takes advantage of everyone else's hard work and talent without providing anything. He's just eating the leftover minnow entrails floating through the jungle. I'm the assassin the jungle needs, but not the hero it deserves. Matt, you're a charity case. That's why Hawk puts you on hold. Jim actually uses you as a write-off every April. You qualify for our company's green initiative. It's the only reason you keep getting on the air. CBS Sports Radio files you under our Community Endeavors Department. We get tax breaks because of you, Matt. We put a huge picture of Matt's hollow eyes on the wall in the company's shareholder meeting for Earth Day. We're saving the raccoon population. Hey, Matt, Rome is like the Tom Brady of sports talk. He's the GOAT. He's been nominated for the Radio Freaking Hall of Fame, and you keep screwing up his show. This is the most successful show in the history of the industry, and Matt's like the Patriots version of Chad Ochocinco, or maybe like Chad No-Ketcho-Stinko, running the wrong routes, dropping passes, and messing everything up. Matt, you're like John Paxson to Rome's MJ. If Paxson missed the shot in the 93 finals, missed every shot he took, put on his jersey backwards, didn't tie his shoelaces, tripped every time down the court and had an opioid addiction, and had driven the Bulls into the ground over the past 15 years with never-ending restarts and rebuilds. Oh, wait, that last part actually happened. The clones only hear Matt when he gets on the air. I can tell you, behind the scenes, he's always on hold. Always! He's like the stray cat you feed once and then will never leave you alone. I mean, the rest of us have lives, which is why I didn't take his call for the last 2 months on my show. I can't have the stray cat that needs to be neutered wailing in the middle of the night with the mangy coat and broken tail come around my house every day begging for fish bones. Jim, Matt has never held a job that didn't require a name tag. He's radio poison. People would rather hear Skip Bayless debate a caribou over whether mating season is clutch. Jim, I'm begging you, do anything to fill time instead of going to Matt. Anything! Do another Rex marathon! Bring back the Rat family! Anything! I'm not even sure how he keeps getting on the air. I think Hawk just keeps putting Matt up to see if you finally snap. I think this is a radio game of chicken. This is like picking the worst kid on the playground every single game just to point and laugh. Matt has become radio car wreck. Hawk just slows down every day to drive by and rubberneck the crash. I almost have to give Matt credit. He's like that raggedy-ass three-legged dog down at the pier. He's eating his own fur, gnawing through the trash, sleeping in his own vomit. He hasn't bathed in years, but he's there every day. Matt is the cockroach that has survived nuclear winter, but only because Hawk likes carnival freaks. Jim, there's a line in Good Will Hunting where Ben Affleck says to Matt Damon, you know what the best part of my day is? The 10 seconds from when I pull up to the curb to when I get to your door, because I think maybe I'll get up there and I'll knock on the door and you won't be there. No goodbye, no see you later, no nothing. Matt, every day the best part of my day is I wake up, do my show, tune into the jungle, and I think maybe I won't hear you today, that you'll have found employment. Maybe you'll have a family, run away with the other carnies. Maybe a DMV appointment. I mean, literally anything. So that you won't have 3 hours every day to sit on hold every week, every month, ever. But that day never comes. I wake up hoping one day you violate your parole so that you don't have the freedom to call us anymore. I wake up hoping one day you get promoted to janitorial intern at the local Whataburger so that you can finally pay off your tattoo artist. And then you don't have time to call anymore. I wake up praying all those bath salts will make you actually think your phone is trying to kill you like a Big Poppy hit. And then you throw it off a bridge that you can't call anymore. So, Jim, before I go, if you would be so kind, I'd like to eulogize the caller formerly known as Matt in L.A. Dearly beloved, we have gathered here today to celebrate 25 years of an iconic radio show and to lay rest to Matt in L.A. May his atrocious phone calls and his orange jumpsuit live amongst the other failed fry cooks and middle school dropouts in the afterlife. Since he's a man of God, Jim, let us recite Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Matt has run to the tower. He is finally safe. Safe from the smack-off destruction, nationally syndicated humiliation, that pesky English language can never haunt him again. To the one clone that has no takes and definitely sucked, may he rest in peace. For now, Matt in L.A. is dead. One final time on the silver anniversary of the smack. Outro!
D.A., it's summertime. Summertime is awesome. Everything about summer is awesome. Well, except for one thing. The bugs. The flies. They're everywhere. Insects invading your home. It's the worst, which is why the best are my pals over at Dynatrap. Dynatrap is the leading manufacturer of outdoor mosquito and insect traps. Now they've come up with a solution for indoor pests. It's the Dynatrap Fly Light. The Dynatrap Fly Light works day and night to attract and trap flies. Also fruit flies, mosquitoes, other pesky insects. I'm telling you, this thing works. We have one. I love it. I've been using mine, and it is crazy the number of insects that it's caught that otherwise would be buzzing around my home, annoying the hell out of me. You want to get yours at Dynatrap.com. That's Dynatrap.com. Enter the promo code Rome, and you'll get 15% off any of their products. Dynatrap, the safe, silent, and simple solution to household insect control. Dynatrap. Jay Stew. He is Jason Stewart. We go there right now. Jay Stu, what's up?
Jim, just like Hollywood, basically, I'm just honored to be nominated. You know, Jim, just like yourself, the smack-off for me in a lot of ways is about nostalgia. And I'm very proud to have been connected to the show in the way that I have been over the last 25 years. Not only as a caller in that first smack-off, but, Jim, this is also the 20th anniversary of you taking a chance on a smart-ass 20-something out of Cal State Fullerton and my career was made at that point. Jim Rome is a true trailblazer. He created this sports talk genre and is a career maker. So, Jim, on the 25th anniversary of the SmackOff, I'm going to break it down. The top 25 callers of all time. Okay, here it goes. Number 25, Eddie the Rope. No, I'm just joking. I'm not going to do that. I know that this show, more than any other show, less is more, and less is a bore. See what I did there? Now, Damon Amendolora, DA, I got your name right there. You participating in the SmackOff reminds me of that 6'8" JUCO player that I ran into at the gym one day who swatted my jump shot and then proceeded to get in my face and say, "Man's game, bitch." I thought then what I think now after your call, pretty impressive, but more sad and pathetic. Just some career advice, Damon. Fight up. Don't fight down. Now, Jim, an amusing part of the last 18 months on TV for this show has been watching the producers come and go on the other side of the glass. It's been kind of amusing to me, and I'd hate to make this all about myself, but it's actually just kind of visual proof of all the guys that haven't been able to live up to me. And in fact, I'm going to take this forum right now to make a major announcement. I'm going to start a podcast. It's called the XR4TI. X spelled EX, R4TI. We have a bunch of X employees on a podcast. We're going to go Friday nights right up against Woodscopes. Dark Gable, Steve Carbone, Kyle Brandt, and I are just going to break things down, talk about our experiences. And every single week, we're going to have a couple ex-employees have an arm wrestling match to see who wins. And the first episode, we're going to have Keith Arnold against Peter Goldfinger. Now, the winner gets a chance to be the second producer on a midday show in Saginaw, Michigan. So we're real thrilled. And I don't want to count you in, Jim, or put you on the spot, but we expect you to be our first guest that night. Happy 25th anniversary, clones. Good night now.
Jay Stu. Tyler in Edmonton. Tyler, what's up? How are you?
This segment of the Great American Smack-Off is brought to you by Alvin DeLauro's all-natural birth control called Dude Dude No No. Endorsed by famous NFL quarterbacks Philip Rivers and Ryan Kitzpatrick, Dude Dude No No is your least reliable option for male birth control in North America. Enter promo code Lil Alvy on DudeDudeNoNo.com for 69% off your first purchase. Already my third Smack-Off, Romy. I'll tell you what, man. I know my SmackOff career this far has been completely pathetic and about as memorable as Ross Dawes Mahdi's career at the Jim Rome Show. All that being said, though, it still hasn't stopped the ladies from mauling me like the media on Tom Brady after the Super Bowl. I'll tell you that right now. Hey-o! All right, let's get to it, man. I'm on the clock. Rome, I heard the old guys are working on something big for today. Yeah, I'm sure Jeff and Richmond and Silk are coming in with that old man fire, just like Phil and Tiger did during their big match. Brass. Rogan Lobe. And how about Stevie Carr Pancake Titties coming in hot last year calling everyone a narcissist just so he could sneak in a little humble brag about his Twitter account? Congrats, Steve. You have 194,000 followers on Twitter and a podcast that's in 194,000th place on the iTunes charts. You're doing real well for yourself, dude. By the way, how many times are you going to bring up your follower account anyway, dude? Nobody cares. I'm more concerned with the 194,000 Twinkies it looks like you and your boy Shawnee ate since the last time you won this thing. Romy, I didn't want to get into the American Fast Max stuff today. Honestly, I didn't. But, dude, this whole thing is just getting out of control. Think about it. You ask any fat slob how they got so fat, and it's exactly like interrogating a pro athlete after they just got busted for PEDs. I swear I didn't knowingly eat my way to a death penalty. I was just minding my own business eating kale, and the next thing I know, the doctor is calling me in for an emergency triple bypass. You know, man, it was tough to see Kevin Durant's Achilles explode like Pablo Sandoval's belt, but was there anything more horrific from the finals than watching Boogie Cousins play defense? Dude, I couldn't tell if I was watching a former All-Star, Adam Hawk, at the end of a marathon. And I know Hawk gets a lot of heat for being everyone's fanboy, but, dude, there is no one who's a bigger fanboy around here than Matt Vancouver. This guy would pay $5,001 to Mike and Indy just to get a chance to sniff his socks. Oh, and by the way, shout out to Mike and Indy, who's undoubtedly preparing for a Smack-Off call like he does every other year at this time, by standing outside of Rome's office protesting the rules of the Smack-Off like those idiot Lakers fans. No more gimmicks! You better don't! No more undies! You better don't! Romy, quick ATP. If Brad is Tiger in his prime, does that make Leff like the resident hefty Leffy? Hey, Leff, have another cake. Seriously, though, Fat Freddy Krueger, make sure when you go all Donald with it and order a platter of fast food for your team of prop bitches later on that you don't forget to order a...
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Not good. It was boring. Listen, if on the day of your call is not as good or as interesting as it is during the regular season or on any other day, it's going to get you run too. At O'Reilly Auto Parts, you will get better parts, better prices every day. We will have the parts that you need to get the job done right. Stores are stocked with high-quality parts and accessories at guaranteed low prices, and the store's well-trained professionals are standing by to help you out. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Sean, the Cowboy Asian, is back for the first time in 12 years. Shawnee, what's going on?
Jim, the 12-year head start that I gave to the rest of these clones, these callers, folks, it ends right now. Jim, I can't even begin to tell you how great it feels to be back in this thing. Man, last year Carbone picks me up homeless off the side of the highway, and now I'm back trying to add rings to a second hand. This is very, very cool. I appreciate it. It's been a long couple weeks, Jim. I'm a huge Big Poppy fan, I got to tell you, because David Ortiz, he's literally the one jersey that I own. So it's been a rough couple weeks. The shooting totally messed me up, and I come to find out it was a case of mistaken identity. So naturally, the first thought that I have is, what beef could Esther Roll have possibly had with the Dominican drug cartel? Kids, trust me, look her up. Esther Roll looks exactly like Big Poppy. Also, FYI to the Dominican drug lords, Esther Roll is already dead. She's been dead 20 years. Stand down. I've got two columns on my tweet deck going right now, Jim. Hashtag SmackOff and at the real OJ32. Jim, I know you had to have talked about OJ's Twitter account, I'm sure. OJ is now out here on Twitter giving out fantasy advice. Hey, OJ, I'm sure the players you're tagging in the tweets love getting buried in a bunch of murder jokes and dagger emojis in their mentions. Dude, nobody cares about your fantasy rankings. Stick to the stuff you do know. Searching for the real killers at the 19th hole. Botched robberies. Treating your enemies like you're a waiter at a Brazilian steakhouse. Stick with that. You see OJ working, Jim. He's just trying to pretend that the last 25 years never happened. Like he can just waltz back into society. Hey, Twitter world. Jim, let the record reflect I am not OJ. Until last year, I was gone for a decade from the Smack-Off, and I know I can't just waltz back into the Smack-Off. I admit for a decade I was basically the uncle on meth at the Jungle Barbecue that nobody wanted to mention. I was doing rogue Smack-Offs. I was on Twitter declaring the event dead after Chael Sonnen won it twice. Things I'm not particularly proud of. So whack away, clones. Nobody thinks it's dumber than I do. Also, yes, I know. I am bald, I am fat, and you're all wondering how much I'm paying my fiance. I get it. Go ahead. You see, you guys can Google my ass and find material for days. That's the advantage you guys have on me, an advantage that you will undoubtedly fumble away the same way all of you not named Brad have for the last decade. Try Googling Mike and Indy. You know how many Mikes there are in Indy? You Google Mike and Indy, all you get is a sea of images of old men with their Peyton Manning jerseys tucked into their dad jeans. Try Googling Mark in Boston. All you get are Craigslist links for a bunch of guys nicknamed Sully selling printer cartridges out of the back of their Buick LeSabre in Southie. Even Brad and Corona, the famous Brad and Corona. You Google Brad and Corona, and your browser turns into a Money in the Bank match of douchey UC Riverside frat boys named Brad. And let the record reflect, I think Brad is hilarious. Hell, Brad, you got four of these things. We shouldn't be adversaries. We should be forming a small council of smack where you, me, and I, Afraidy, just sit high atop the red keep, looking down and laughing at all the other callers, throwing poop at each other in the streets like it's King's Landing. By the way, you losers complaining about the final seasons of Game of Thrones, the ones who are like, and the timeline wasn't realistic for Dany to ride Drogon from Dragonstone to the north. She's riding a freaking dragon, and the least realistic thing to you losers is the timeline? Okay. Jim, in closing, some may see me calling as a nostalgia act. I've been gone a long time. I understand it. I'm not out here like some guys are calling in and doing one-man plays or reconstructing Mamma Mia or riding on the back of a dolphin, whatever these guys do nowadays. I pick up the phone. I call. I win. I win more than anybody because I am the best at this. Always have been. Always will be. Even after Brad or somebody else super kicks me in the mouth to win their six, I am the best. Jim, in homage to truly terrible ideas, I actually did the first half of this call in Tampa Bay, and I'm finishing it up right now in Montreal. So allow me to say au revoir, soutenir dans la boîte, merci pour l'invitation, on se parle plus tard en 2 heures quand j'accepte $5,000. Soutenir ça, les clones.
Hell yeah, all hail the champ. Let's get to Southfield. Jeff in Southfield. Jeff, what's up?
Thanks for the vine, Jim. Hey, Cleveland Browns fan, Detroit Lions fan here. When you went 0-16, you took our title as the NFL's laughingstock. In a strong move to get it back, we hired Matt Patricia. Hey, Matt, it doesn't take a degree in rocket science to know for those shirts by Untuckit to work, you have to button them. Meanwhile, how did you respond, Cleveland? By making a series of great moves and becoming America's team. That's no way to bottom us, Cleveland. You lost your losing focus and you choked, Cleveland. Face it, Cleveland, the Browns might be the guy who couldn't get laid in high school or in college, but the Lions are the guy who couldn't get laid in a porno. Hey, Cal, you can think Las Vegas is classy and glamorous. I think Las Vegas is what happens when that place Robert Kraft went to puts blackjack tables in its lobby. Hey, Cal, it's time you admitted casinos are not where supermodels go to hook up with men who look and dress like James Bond. Casinos are where prostitutes go to hook up with dudes who make Matt Patricia look dapper. Hey, Cal, instead of going all in on being a drunk clown, ante up on having some character, kid. Hey, Jeff in Richmond, just because your local restaurants let you take longer than an Adam Hawk marathon to phone in your daily carryout order doesn't mean we're going to let you rest your phone on your shoulder. Hey, Jeff, I believe you can afford luxury sleds and Armani suits when I see some evidence that you can afford Bluetooth. Hey, Jeff, the only 10-acre estate I'm seeing is your ass. Hey, Jim, Mike in India is so full of himself, he thinks the reason why this is the last smack-off is because next year you'll be renaming it the Mike in Indy Classic. Jim, sources have confirmed Brad and Corona is taking a dive. It seems Brad's obsession with personal appearance has gotten him into deep debt from the purchase of personal grooming products. His debt is so deep, he needs to mortgage his house. But unfortunately for Brad, he lives in Corona, so his house is worth less than the grooming products within it. Fortunately for Brad, he is favored so heavily over the field that if he bets the field, he can make millions, which would almost pay off his grooming-related debts. Jim, I'm in agreement with Jules from Pulp Fiction when it comes to Caleb in Green Bay. I wouldn't go so far as to call my man fat. I mean, my man's got a weight problem, but what do you expect? My man's Wisconsin-Mowen. And Caleb has a great excuse for living with his parents. He lives in that complete cultural void known as Green Bay. There's not a damn thing to do outside of his parents' house. Everyone who lives in Green Bay should live with their parents so they can save money to afford the drugs they need to cope with living in that boring, frozen hell. And I don't want to hear how Green Bay is like a college town. How is Green Bay like a college town? Let's see, you've replaced the cap and gown with a cheese hat and snow parka. You've replaced professors with plant managers. You've replaced students with plant workers. And you've replaced classrooms and books with break rooms and porno mags. The only way that's like a college town is if we're talking about Ohio State. Boom. Hey, Jim Harbaugh, see how I just crushed Ohio State? Why can't you? Speaking of colleges, props to Jake on his acceptance to Wisconsin. Now that the matter is settled, I can express my disdain for Arizona State. Jake, I know Arizona State was your fallback school, but bro, that's not a fallback school. That's a you've fallen and can't get up school. That degree should come with a life alert necklace. You would be taken more seriously with a degree from the University of Spring Break. You'd get a better job with a degree from Fake DeVry. And in the most damning statement imaginable, Jake, in the middle of Arizona State's campus is a statue of Adam Hawk that reads, "One day, we'll all be working for this guy." And finally, Jim, am I the only one who pictures Leffen Laguna being Willy Wonka's kid and he spends his days riding chocolate roller coasters and playing with genuine Oompa Loompas? Well, they're all genuine except two. The fatter, balder one is Jay Moore, and the one wearing lifts to be tall enough is Mark in Hollywood. Makes sense if you follow their career trajectories. Hey, Lef, I won't ever hassle celebrities for cameos like some annoying pest because I respect myself. And Lef, when you're so insanely blind to boundaries that you forced Jim to build a new secret location studio, that's when you deserve to be called a selfish idiot. Furthermore, oh my God, Jim, Arthur Fonzarelli just came through my door, and he's grabbing my phone. Hey, Jeff, I did get a second date with Pinky Tuscadero, and the bet I took her to was in the spare bedroom of Mr. and Mrs. Cunningham's house, where I scored. And the reason I live there is because I was also scoring with Mrs. C. And the reason I hung with teenagers at Arnold's isn't because I'm some creepy loser. It's because I like to help the young people work through their problems so they can become strong and healthy adults. So sit on it, Jeff. Damn, Fonz, I'd say you showed me, but you blew it with that help the young people become strong, healthy adults crap. If that's true, then what the hell happened to Chachi, Fonz? Hey, Fonz, have you seen the show Scott Baio is 45 and not married and a completely unimpressive clown? That'll wrap it, Jim. I'm going to hang up my phone, go to that Canadian health food store known as Tim Hortons because I want my donuts. I don't care if you have to fly.
Hey, man, he's got that plane down barely, didn't he? Barely. We go to NoCal. Vic in NoCal. Broadway Vic, what's up?
Brother, it's great to be back in Snack Off 25, also known as Brad's quest to chase down that elusive white whale. And I don't mean that figuratively, okay? I mean literally, the Catalan Asian is like a big-ass white whale, man. I mean, holy crap, Shawnee, what the hell has CBS Sports been paying you in corn dogs and cookie dough? Anyway, before I forget, I want to welcome the new guy to his first Snack Off. You don't know this, Ike, but I've actually been a big fan of yours for a while now, ever since I saw you in Cocoon. I mean, dude, you and Jessica Tandy are like my favorite on-screen couple ever. Speaking of actors, Mark in Hollywood's career is in the toilet again. I mean, Mark's so desperate for work these days that he recently auditioned for a snuff film. Yeah, he didn't get a call back for that either, Rome, which sucks because that means he's going to live to make another crappy phone call today. Hey, I'm predicting a lot of penile references in Brad and Corona's call today. I mean, it's been a decade since the DDS Detola diagnosed Brad with a severe case of, well, DDS, Dong Derangement Syndrome. But my man remains unfazed. I mean, Brad spends more time talking about cranks than a 1920s mechanic. Hell, he could probably give an entire 20-minute TED Talk on the topic of tube. Hey, let's talk about that Muppet Rick in Buffalo. Or should I say shtick in Buffalo, because this is what it used to sound like.
Rick in Buffalo, you made it in. I got to be honest, Jim, I'm a little disappointed the Bills haven't fired Rex Ryan yet. And I can only hope that the reports he's going to be gone at the end of the season are true. Believe me, everyone here in Buffalo.
You see, Rick, you may have been Rick back then, shtick. But somewhere along the way, shtick, you ceased being Rick and you became shtick. But you know, the cool thing about Rick, though, is that his radio name, Rick in Buffalo, can also be used to describe his wedding night. And Rome, I'd say that Brad and Corona's name could be used to describe his drinking habits, but for that to be true, Brad would have to move to a city called, like, Appletini, California, because even a watery Corona beer must taste like freaking diesel fumes to that little snitch, Brad. Hey, Brad, you're so feminine and beta, I'm going to start calling you that broad in Corona. Okay, broad? Dude, you're so feminine and beta, I'm pretty sure that as a baby you were breastfed soy milk. And Rome, that psychotic weirdo who calls your show all the time, Matt in L.A., yeah, I'm pretty sure that guy was breastfed crack smoke. Okay, I don't get that guy, man. I don't know if he's like a former travel agent who lost his mind after Orbitz.com put him out of business, or if he's like some disgraced former geography teacher who ended up in jail for handing out A's in exchange for drugs. From San Quentin to Zimbabwe, from cell block B to Burkina Faso, from the prison rec yard to Reykjavik. Matt, I don't know how the hell you can get through your calls when I'm sure that smell phone you put up to your face must totally stink after you have to jailhouse wallet it past the guards as contraband every time you call. Rome, I'd like to end by congratulating Stevie Carbone on having a lot of Twitter followers. I know that's very important to him. Of course, in order to get there, Stevie had to sit through like 1,500 hours of The Bachelorette. Good Lord, Stevie. When people ask you what you do for a living, do you lie and tell them you're in porno? I mean, hey, listen, all kidding aside, that's actually not bad work if you can get it. Porno, I mean. I mean, that's pretty much my dream job, Rome. Now, just hear me out. Hear me out. It's not for the reasons you might think, all right? Believe it or not, the prospect of having to Brazilian wax my package every other week just so I can do all kinds of vile things to drug-addicted runaways. Starlets who just really, really like sex is not all that appealing to me. No, the reason I want to go into porn can be summed up by two words, job security. Okay, think about it, man. You got these movies, right? You see hundreds, if not thousands of different girls, right? But you always see the same seven dudes. Hey, that's what Jay Stu told me, okay? I don't watch that garbage myself. But for real, I mean, whether it's Pete North or that one bald-headed dude, it's like some kind of starting rotation in baseball. Hey, man, have you seen Johnny around? Oh, yeah, I've seen him, bro. He's working today. He's going on 3 days rest. I mean, it's like these seven guys are like the Supreme Court justices of porn, you know? If you're lucky enough to land one of these seven gigs, you get to keep it till the day you die. I mean, for real, I'm surprised old man Rooney there at 60 Minutes never did a piece on this.
Have you ever noticed that when you're watching porno, you see hundreds of different girls, but you always see the same seven guys? How does that work? Do these seven guys go through all those girls by themselves? Why, gee golly, they must have more clap than a curtain call. Oh.
Well, my man was on that line for like 5 minutes. Rick in Buffalo. We go there right now. Great to have you, Rick. How are you?
Happy 25th, Jim. What an honor it is to be here. And thanks for moving things up a month this year, because I was really getting sick of these Twitter superstars who kept filling my DMs with their brilliant ideas. Hey, idiots, how about this for an idea? You can celebrate when you get red, and I'm going to celebrate when you get dead. Keep sniffing around my house, and it won't be long. And I'd like to welcome DA to the party this year, who now officially becomes the ugliest dude in the history of the competition. Good God, you're hideous. When they flash your mug on the big screen, it should come with a warning from the Surgeon General. Seriously, DA, I can't tell if that's your mouth or a catcher's mitt. You don't have a face for radio, my man. You got a face for a closed casket funeral. And everyone knows Caleb in Green Bay's coming in with a brand new gimmick this year. But could you kindly spare us with that on Wisconsin nonsense? The only things you should be on, Levy, are a diet and a woman. Now get to work, fat boy. And if I were you, Vic, I'd patch in my phone calls too, because you haven't made a good one in 5 years. Don't hate me because I got angry. And I had to laugh when Vic said he'd never attend a clone stock in fear that, and I quote, he'd never see another vagina. Well, good news, Vic. You can attend all the clone stocks you want, because whenever you want to see a vagina, just sit on your toilet and look down, you friggin' scumbag. And is anyone else as sick of Canada as I am? Honestly, Jim, I don't think this country's ever gotten anything right. Its economy's always in the tank, its citizens are always a-holes, and its smack-off callers are always friggin' terrible. Even that dead, coked-out mayor of Toronto thinks Matt and Tyler are a national embarrassment. And don't even get me started on all those NBA frontrunners. Three Raptors fans in May turned into 3 million diehards in June. My skank mother-in-law even went up for the parade. This drunk bitch is going on 70 and still wants to party like it's Woodstock 69. And no lie, Jim, she comes back with one of those stupid vape pens and a t-shirt for my daughter that says, blaze it like grandma. Most parents save for their kids' education. I'm saving for their rehab. And people wonder why I'm so pissed off all the time. And while I have the platform, Jim, I feel an obligation to try and save Major League Baseball, because those half-dead idiots sitting in the front office don't seem to give a damn. The solution really is a simple one. Get rid of replay already, you friggin' morons. Human error has always been the most beautiful part of the game. Think about it, Jim. Replay would have deprived us of all the joy that came with watching Don Denkinger blow the 85 World Series. and the thousands of death threats that ensued. Replay would have robbed us of all the intrigue that came with wondering whether or not Steve Bartman was going to make it out of Wrigley alive that night. Threats and violence, Jim, the perfect national pastime. And please allow me to take a minute here to congratulate Brad and Corona. Not sure if you guys heard, but Brad was just awarded Best Classroom Mom for the 7th consecutive year. God, I hate guys like Brad. Never had to work a day in his life. Walks around flashing his old man's cash and hangs out with all his kids' friends just because he's got nothing better to do. The toughest decision Brad has to make is whether he wants his mom or his wife to wipe his ass before bedtime. And I know that glamour shot in your fundies won you the title last year, Bradley, but the long-term damage it did is undeniable. Now the whole world knows you're built like a 12-year-old and hung like my 2-year-old. Hope it was all worth it, former champ. War the mighty Niagara Falls being the 8th wonder of the world, and the mighty Rick in Buffalo being the 9th. War Trapper and Dana Point. War the proud, shiny, up-and-coming city of Buffalo, New York. Your sports teams may be better than ours, but get us in a street fight, and we'll kick your asses every time. Thanks for the vine, Jim. I'm out.
Rick in Buffalo. That's how you do it. Looking to build on that right now, we go to Wisco. Benny in Wisco, his third smack off. Benny, what's going on?
Jim, I am elated to be here today. Congrats on 25. What's up, Lorelei? Great call, Rick. Rick's going to celebrate by getting someone to dump his well-documented bucket of urine over his head like a coach getting an unhealthy dark yellow Gatorade bath, and then he's going to wrestle a few rounds with his Goo Goo doll. Rick, you're a teacher whose classes serve as a JUCO for kids looking to make the jump to the local McDonald's drive-through. And is there any doubt that a bunch of white crusty spit gathers in the corner of Sean the Cablin Asian's mouth when he calls? Hey, Shawnee, here's a timeline we can all agree on. You should have stayed gone longer. And Vic, man, I hope Stucknut forgot to hit record on that BS. I mean, you could actually hear zeros getting added to your Stucknut odds every time you tried to land a punchline. And my guy Jeff in Southfield, let's face it, dude, that call will forever be known as the diarrhea of a wimpy kid. Lenny Dykstra's dentures thought that call stunk. Now, speaking of wimpy kids, thanks in advance to Brad and Corona and Leff and Laguna for canceling each other out this year. Leff reading a 5-minute-long Den Lesk's email about power lines and Speedos, complete with a cameo from some celebrity that he drugged up beforehand. I mean, did you hear Larry Brown last year? He sounded like he took the Cosby cab to Dennis Hoff's Love Ranch before recording that mess. Tell those clones to stop crank calling me. He sounded more like Larry Odom or Larry in Naples. And, of course, Brad's going to come in and hit the board with a lot of anteater smack before yelling a show soundbite over and over again. Brad, last year you requested a bunch of people tell you how your ass tastes in your typical goofball voice. Great stuff, by the way. It's writing like that that really sets you apart from a button on Lil Alvy's computer, you robot clown hybrid. You're like what would happen if Johnny Five from Short Circuit and Sprinkles the Clown had a love child and abandoned it in front of a bad joke shelter. But you answered your own question, Brad, and your cute little Speedo, that sure enough, Tyler was right back by your hammock. Well, with that logic, your ass tastes like Tyler and Edmonton's greasy head of hair. Now, Jim, I've never been big on gimmicks or cameos. My bread and butter has always been creativity and originality. That being said, I have a buddy here who has a strange knack for going into great detail about certain physical characteristics, and he wanted to share a few words about Tyler's hair. So without further ado, friend of the program, a man from Illinois named Darren. Darren?
Thank you, Benjamin. Tyler, you put more product in your hair than Glenn Plake.
Darren, who the hell is Glenn Plake?
Well, that's that tricky skier guy from the 80s with the greased-up mohawk that did all the daffies and back scratchers. You remember him, Ben? Canadian furniture stores and Uber drivers refer to Tyler as the Edmonton Oiler because of the slick he leaves wherever he puts his head. Tyler walks into a beauty salon and sits between Gladys and Mona in one of them blue hair chairs. You know the ones. They got that plastic salad bowl that flips over to sit on top of your head. The employee saying, "Hey, I know you. Aren't you Kurt Orban's granddaughter?" Before filling that bowl with Vaseline and pizza and flopping the damn thing onto his dome. Tyler, when you get your hair washed, do you have to get in line behind all the other British Petroleum pelicans and wait your turn for the volunteer to run Dawn dish soap through that nest? Every chair in Brad and Corona's house has a snail trail on it from having your head back down by his butthole.
All right. That'll do, Darren. Darren, you're as strange and idiotic as you are handsome. Now, on the subject of greaseballs, Mike in Indy won himself something like 9 Masterbuilt smokers over the last year. Mike, they're smokers, not space heaters. Mikey requested $5,001 and a helper, not for today's call, but to buy extension cords so he can pirate heat for the winter in his studio apartment. Cut it out, Mike. Those smokers are going to destroy your M&M posters and dry out your fleshlight. Now, Romy, I had 2 tasks to take care of today, and now that I've taken care of taking the crown to Wisco Town, whoa, that was tough, the uphill battle is here. Our pal Caleb in Green Bay has asked me to be his wingman later on at the after party, and Goose is going to work on getting Maverick's V-card swiped. So hopefully we can run into some, shall we say, morally casual lady clones this afternoon and get Mr. Big Chest Laura Laid. Now slap me across the head with that 5K, Romy, because let's face it, in order to get this done, we will probably end up paying out. And don't bother shipping me the crown. You might as well save some freight expenses and just send it up with Jake this fall. War, Wisconsin. And Brad, a little after-party advice for you tonight. Bottomless mimosas is a drink promotion, not a dress code. Have fun at Hennessy's chugging beer out of Luis and Palmdale's prosthetic leg while Silk Bra sings Beach Boys karaoke.
Jim, that's all the time I got to make my smack-off call today. Goodbye.
Benny. What do you make of Benny's call? There were some unbelievable moments in that call. Some unbelievable moments. Was there a strategic error in the middle of that call? I don't know. He is the belligerent knuck, Matt in Vancouver. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Rome, appreciate it. Hey, great call by Benny in schizophrenia. Darren in Illinois? Really? Hey, Benny, you ask what kind of idiot brainlessly wanders in front of a train? Exhibit A, Tyler in Shredmonton. And Rome, we need to address the infestation of absolute nerds into the jungle. I used to think that personalized jersey-wearing adult males attending the drafts were the worst tools in the jungle. But now we got geeks like Mark in Boston trying to bring Game of Thrones talk around here, or Mark in Hollywood and his ever-receding hairline trying to talk Avengers and Star Wars. And worse yet, we got Caleb trying to impress 14 people at some freak show Wisco watch party with freaking poetry readings. Jesus Christ, can somebody please collectively get these nerds some hookers? The blind stares of the 3 pairs of eyes, looking hard but don't realize they will never see the pee. And speaking of freak show watch parties, Rome, I love how Rick in Buffalo is hyping the crap out of his post-smack-off appearance at some BO-filled break room of a hardware store. Only in a pathetic, low-class city like Buffalo with such a hideous populace who have tasted absolutely zero success in their lives would be hyped to drink with some penis-looking teacher who's currently likely the subject of multiple investigations for highly inappropriate behavior. Can't you picture it? Rick in a denim jacket over his Harley-Davidson t-shirt out of the teen smoke pit trying to hug up on students who I'm sure eventually go on to be known as his accusers. Shut up and get in my hatchback, you D-bag! And Rome, I'm hyped to have Stevie Carbone and the Cavillin Asians back in the smack-off. Carbone looks like every day he won the smack-off, every day since he won the smack-off back in 98, he's been in a car blowout cheat day. Holy crap, Rome. Do you see these pictures on Twitter of Carbone in a button-down that could easily be used as a Major League Baseball rain tarp? But hey, at least we get to re-enjoy his old Becky Black parody. Pie day, fat-ass Carbone never skips pie day. And Rome, is it any wonder why the Cavillin Asian had all his jungle success before he was on TV? No. Have you seen this guy's face? Have you seen this guy's body? And Rome, between the muffin top Carbone, Jay Stu's laconic ass, and you texting with Carl Anderson, who for some reason looks like he's always covered in butter, and your coworker with drywall-sized chiclets, we have a portion of the smack-off participants we shall deem team conflict of interest. But because of your proven impartiality, Rome, and because of my bold roster move, I'm prepared to make a serendipitous rise with the Toronto Raptors to championship heights. And now last but not least, onto Bradley in Corona. It's time to address the dignity sacrificing call from last year. You see, I consulted my attorney, Brad, and he advised me that someone profiting off my likeness like Brad did entitles me to some handsome compensation, even if the person who profited lives well below the poverty line like Brad does. But you see, Rome, I'm not coming for a slice of Brad's 5K. Instead, I've launched an entrepreneurial venture selling a product that is only available right after this call and only available in the great white nation of Canada. Since Brad used the beautiful mug of mine without authorization, I've taken the liberty of doing the same with Brad's below average face and plastered it on every single ply.
That's not a good call.
No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Gotta be better, Matt. Gotta be better. Biggest day of the year, biggest stage, best of the best. I gotta laugh. Stevie Carbone. Steve, it's great to have you back. What's up?
Jim, what's happening? 25 years on the show, 20 calls, like you said. I almost feel like I've peaked. Like last year, I kind of laid it all out there. I team up with the Cablin Asian. We had a good run, but we just couldn't get past the meth head and the 909. And then what? Like, what's my next play after that? Do I try and run it back with Shawnee again? I mean, no, because he basically, Shawn Michaels super kicked my Marty Jannetty ass through a plate glass barbershop window, wanted to take all his glory back. He wanted to go solo again. Man, we were a team. That's my quarterback, man. He left me. I felt lost. Do I dare ask a Brad or a Lef or a Vic or Mike, hey, you want to be my new friend? You want to make a call together? Yeah, right. Like, I'm not asking Brad. Jim, there's three rules I live by. Never play cards with a guy who has the same first name as the city. Never get less than 12 hours sleep. And never do a tandem call with a dude who plasters pictures of himself in his banana hammock all over the CBS Sports Radio Network. I mean, like, Lef? I mean, sorry, I have a feeling auditioning to be a part of that guy's phone call would consist of showing up on a casting couch in Van Nuys somewhere while he rubs my neck and tells me to relax. Vic? I don't speak gangster. And Mike? I don't speak whatever dialect that is. Mike? Were you one of those dudes in high school that hung out with all the varsity basketball players and tried to be cool, but basically everyone just laughed at you behind your back because they knew you were a poser? Because that's exactly how you come off in your calls, as a poser. So, Jim, you mentioned 20 smack-off calls. I'm going solo on this one, just me, all by myself, like Mark in Hollywood on Tinder, or Benny and Wisco on, well, any Friday and Saturday night alongside his KFC 12-piece meal bucket. But 20th year doing this for me. Today is going to be about me. I want to celebrate me. And I don't want to toot my own horn here. Well, yeah, I kind of do. But so the guys over at Stucknut, they keep the track of all the calls, where you place, what year and all that stuff. They broke it down into old school, 95 to 08, new school, 08 to current. My average place of finish in the smack-off from 95 to 08 was 4.8. From 08 to current, it's 5.6. In the age of sabermetrics, Jim, my jungle war basically makes me Mike Trout. So essentially, I'm that much better than the replacement-level jobbers like Jeff in Southfield and Matt in L.A. I don't care if I only have one title in 24 years. I'm all about consistent domination. I'm the Atlanta Braves of the 90s and the early aughts. And when you average top five finishes for 20 years of calls, that's some serious, serious game. Or lack of a sex life, one or the other. Jim, when you did my player profile, that kind of got me fired up. Like, let's face it. The clips you played were straight fire. Some of my best clips, most were downright genius, some serious, serious smack. But you only have a three-hour show, so I don't blame you for not playing all my hits. However, the smack goal has changed. The goal now is to crack on as many callers as humanly possible and just read a laundry list of insults about them. See, Damon Amandalora, 8 minutes on Matt in L.A. Is he serious? If only he'd spend that much time on his show prep. However, Jim, in 1997... this was a strong take.
Who cares? I don't. That's your style. Doesn't affect my life because I'm still going to come in and talk about how the Dodgers should let up in the offseason, dump Brett Butler, and go after Kenny Lofton.
In the biggest show of the year, I was giving Dodger center fielder takes. Jim, can you imagine today if I came in that angry that Chris Taylor isn't playing the outfield more than Jock Peterson? What about 1999? The year after I won my title, I came in and did this.
And that's to be the man. Woo! You gotta beat the man. And frankly, so far, none of you booty, cool, candy-ass clones have come close to taking my title away from me.
Yeah, I think that there's, oh my gosh. I think when in 1999, I'm talking about wrestling catchphrases. I finished seventh that year after my title win. Seventh. Apparently, I was off about someone taking my title away. And in 1999, Jim, I was going places. Just off.
But I will say this. I left the jungle to someday get my own show. And I'm going to get my own show.
There's a podcast in a completely different field than sports radio count. I mean, yeah, that's what I meant. That's what I was talking about. But, Jim, 1996, this is it. Second year ever in the Smack-Off. I'll just let this take's brilliance stand on its own.
The jungle is moving places. I mean, it is moving faster than those immigrants running away from the cop the other day.
On second thought, Jim, why don't I just show myself out after that take? Happy 25th.
You should, Steve. You absolutely should. Stevie Carbone, let's go to Denver. Dan in Denver. Dan, you made it in.
Jim, like the Kablan Asian hosting a show during the daylight, I'm just happy to be here. Sean, once a week in the middle of the night, is that your show schedule or how often you go outdoors? Bro, you're the whitest thing in the jungle since Bodie's rapping. And nice call, Matt and Van. Bro, your delivery was worse than a three-wheeled UPS truck. That call stunk worse than Mona and Knoxville's breath. Jim, the show's reach is amazing. Watch parties have been popping up all over the country. So if you're listening at a watch party right now, could you do me a favor? Quiet down. Stop what you're doing. I want everyone to look to your right. Now look to your left. Now look at the people behind you. Does anyone see a pair of breasts? Man, boobs don't count, Wisco. No? All right, I didn't think so. Well, except for you, Portland. There's one of you there. And I'm glad to see Chael Perfection Sonnen finally decided to call it quits. Chael, your fight name was Perfection? I'm struggling to see what's perfect about you. Your fighting career, 17 losses, no. Your smack-off career, embarrassed in the last two smack-offs, no. Your body, hell no. Dude, Bellator actually demanded you fight with a shirt on if you fight again. Chael fighting without PEDs is like Leff and Laguna calling today without a gimmick. No shot to win. But Romy, who the hell chose the Bucks as Milwaukee's mascot? Elmer Fudd? Way to choose the one animal whose natural predator is the dumb redneck. And I love how their motto is fear the deer. What are you going to do? Jump out in front of my vehicle and then stop and stare at my headlights waiting for me to hit you? And Jim, no surprise to me that the Raiders are going to be on Hard Knocks. They've got former player turned NFL Network star Mike Mayock running their front office. Was the former Princeton fullback turned executive producer turned Kyle Brandt unavailable? And if Pelinka doesn't work out in L.A., maybe the Lakers can take a look at that former state championship point guard you've got pressing soundbite buttons for a living to do it. But how about the Raiders picking up Incognito, too? An overweight, overhyped, headcase criminal. It's hard to tell if I'm talking about Incognito or a Raider fan like Matt in L.A. Is he going to play football or dress in some gothic costume and throw beers at opposing fans? The man hasn't taken a snap since 2017. Well, unless you count that time he snapped at the gym. Romy, you notice our champ Brad in Corona is a lot like Tom Brady, not because he's arguably the GOAT and good-looking, but because his wife makes more money than him and he French kisses his kids on camera. Braddy, if only your smack last year hit as hard as your nipples were in that photo. Did you rub ice on those things pre-photo? Or did they perk up around the end of your call when Vic started shouting your name? Working hard to get your nipples hard like that? Talk about a Nipsey hustle. Standing up there shirtless in those panties, running your mouth like a rapper. What's your street name? Wii Unit? Brad, when you get to the end of your call today and you start listing people's names and asking them how your ass tastes, can you just do me a favor and forget my name? Rack me, Jim.
Dan in Denver. We go to Mike in Indy. Mikey DLC, what's up, Mike?
What's up? Hey, I'm watching the telecast, and that was nice of you to give Shawnee a few courtesy laughs. But we all know he should have got run. That call was terrible. Romy, I'm the big, long, straight piece in Tetris. Stevie Carbone is that crappy zigzag piece you get right before your screen fills up. Romy, my call last year was so hot, Ira Craig tried to use it to heat up some dumpster food. My call last year was so hot, Callum Vegas tried to pour some of my call into his lap to set up a lawsuit. But the judge said, sorry, Cal, you should have known that call was hot. You know I'm quick to let these hands go, Romy. That's why they call me the Pythagorean Theorem, because I'm always about to square up. You've heard everybody coming at me today. I got so many beefs, I can't even keep track. I got so much beef, Beaks in Studio City tried to rob me in broad daylight. Rome, I have thousands of Twitter followers, but I only follow five, so getting a follow from me is a huge honor. If I win today, I'm going to open up the floodgates and follow the whole XR4TI. That might be the closest you knuckleheads ever get to a Twitter verification. Now let me translate all that into Hawk's natural dialect. Caw! Rome, I'm having a tough time dealing with that moving stage that ESPN uses to whisk Booger McFarland from one end of the field to the other. What's next? They're going to suspend Booger McFarland's fat ass in a zipline harness hovering over the field? Speaking of boogers, did anybody else see the video of Jim Harbaugh picking his nose and then eating the booger? Then Michigan hired coach Jim McElwain, the guy who got caught on camera butt naked on top of that shark. What's next? The camera's catching Juwan Howard during a timeout, digging all up in his booty hole and then smelling it. And of course, the two dumbest callers in the jungle are huge Michigan fans. Callan Vegas' stupidity is pretty well documented at this point, but Mark in Boston with his permanent Jim Harbaugh tattoo might actually be dumber than Cal, and that's really saying something. The fact that it's even a discussion which of these two idiots is dumber is an embarrassment to both of them and the whole University of Michigan. Rome, about once a year somebody new shows up and flashes brilliance, and everyone assumes it's me because I'm the gold standard of brilliance. On the brilliance scale of 1 to Mike and Indy, Jeff in Southfield started as a 9, but after that garbage call today, you all know that ain't me. Regardless, Jeff received the ultimate compliment any smack-off caller could ever receive. At one point, everyone thought he was me. I know Crank Flores tried to get Harry Winkler on his call so Hawk would actually let him on the air, but Crank Flores and Harry Winkler, are you kidding me with that combo? What, Dick Butkus didn't want any of that? Speaking of Dick Butkus, Braden Corona is a system caller. If he can't talk about poop and pee and male genitalia, he's worthless. It's all he's got. Don't let him seduce you into thinking he's a champion, Rome, or you're going to end up with some Kirk Cousins system QB egg on your face. You like that? Braden Corona apologists say Brad has 4 championships but should have 5. Well, I should have 9 championships, so I guess that settles that. Leff and his team of 30 writers might be the only organization more ridiculous than the Lakers right now. Leff is just going with the flow while Denless is shadow running the organization and calling all the shots. Then Crank Flores went to the media to air his dirty laundry and either quit or got fired. We aren't really sure. Lots of he said, she said going on there. Lots of backstabbing and betrayal throughout the organization. That's why so many of Leff's secrets get out. The whole organization is crumbling, and along with it, Leff's hopes of ever winning a legitimate smack-off title. The thing is, Jim, I've given these scrub callers so much material this year, and they just squandered it. People say I'm predictable. It's like Tony Romo's calling out my takes in advance, and they still can't stop me. When you know what's coming, and you still can't stop it, that's a champion. As everybody knows, I offered up the opportunity to be my partner on this call for $5,001, and I had a taker. But I got a tip from a confidential informant in Leff's crew that my new partner was affiliated with Leff and was going to try to ruin my call. So I had a choice to make. Take the $5,001 and let him ruin my call, or cut him loose, go solo, and call Leff out for his ill communication. Listen, all of y'all, it was sabotage. Listen, all of y'all, it was sabotage. I can't stand it. I know Leff planned it. I'ma set it straight. It's smack off gate. The smack off's bigger than the money, so I'm still here. Cause the crystal ball ain't so crystal clear. They thought they took me out, but it's a mirage. I'm telling y'all it was sabotage.
Mikey, he is Mark in Hollywood. What's up, Mark?
Big Jim! Yo, Vanilla Ice was dope just then. Wake up, everybody. Yo, I got to say what's up to all the Smack Off Watch Party circle twerks that are happening around the country. To the Igloo that's hosting Rick in Buffalo's Buttocks Bonanza. To the Sausage Swap Meet in Cokeland. Got to give a huge shout out to the Portland Party and all the women they have up in there. Yo, Portland woman. What up, Wookiees? Other than Adam's mom. But Romy, the one watch party I really want to be at is that Fruit and Vegetables Anonymous meeting that's happening in Wisco. Man, just imagine walking into this tug spa, cholesterol dripping from every wall. But Jim, why does everyone at that watch party have domes that crack as easy as peanut brittle? For example, Benny's calls used to be tight with his rat gimmick, but the minute this dude steps outside of his lane, he sounds as nervous as Matt in Cleveland combined with the personalities of Herschel Walker. And then you have Caleb setting up Twitter burner accounts so he can claim he has, quote, haters. Relax, Mayor McCheese. No one cares about you or your contradictory tweets, where one moment you're a holier-than-thou virgin, and the next moment you're a horny goat-weed teenager. Caleb, the only haters you have is called physical fitness and mental toughness. Get back into the carpool lane, less successful Jay Stew. But, Jim, the one good thing about this party is they're so close to the border. This herd of bison can migrate north and have those two grass-fed Canadians as an appetizer. Oh, Tyler, Matt, what up, sluts? Hey, I hear you get a lot of chicks. Great. So did Irv. Jim, when these dirty bang bros went on their smack-off mini-camp and stayed at hotels, the sheets got bed bugs from them. You know, honestly, other than both of them getting run today, the best thing about this year was watching these Mounties turn on each other quicker than Bob Crane's bro turned on him when he bashed Colonel Hogan's skull in with their sex camera. But, bros, it's all love. It's just that your brand is an oxymoron. Tough, smack-talking Canadians, really? That's like saying competent Lakers front office or career stability-seeking XR4TI members. Oh, and by the way, James Kelly, as a fellow member of Big Dome Nation, I got your back, homie. Ain't nothing wrong with you. I'd rather have a big dome than look like a bald, wrinkly, newly born Benjamin Button or a dead-eyed, air-headed, tatted-up millennial hipster Mimbo or a Ken doll or a 12-year-old anal-retentive, egomaniacal narcissist who thought so much of himself he had to name his kids Simon and Theodore. But this sad thing, Jim, is with all of these awesome parties happening all over the country, not one of them has extended an invite to that walking, talking, Robert Kraft receptacle, Brad and Bud Hola. But it makes sense, doesn't it? Just look at Brad with his Benito Santiago grill and his wiry frame. This glue sniffer looks like he should be dumpster diving behind the Jersey Mike's with nails and sprinkles. Brad, you think Rick in Buffalo is going to let you into his backdoor brouhaha? That screaming
fit. That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Dude, one too many innuendos, genitalia references over the line. I said it's going to be a very short leash. He's a former champ. You see, former champs do get run. Let's go to Green Bay. Caleb in Green Bay. Caleb, how are you?
I'm good, Romy. What's up? It's an honor to be here. Shout out to all my friends at the Lorelei right now. I know they're all thinking the same thing. Caleb in Green Bay, he is the man. Don't worry, folks. I won't let you down. Jim, I was thinking about the 25th anniversary and all the nostalgia that comes with it. Can you imagine what would happen if one of these cadavers from the days of yore won the smack-off, like Carbone or the Cablanasian? They'd go longer in between titles than Rick and Buffalo when he can't afford a used car. Now, I'm not saying that high school teachers don't get paid very well, but I am saying that to save money on laundry, Rick just showers with his clothes on. He slams one Tide Pod over his melon, another one under his armpits, and a third in his mouth for a light snack. And yes, clones, I'm well aware that Tide Pod jokes are about a year and a half too old, even for Rick, but I'm pretty sure you could say the same thing about the senior girls in his geography class. And Richard, I don't even know why you're here today. You don't need the $5,000. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with mesothelioma, you may be entitled to significant financial compensation. And Jim, it was really nice of you to play Mike and Indy's greatest hits. You know, I'm a true student of the game. I always try to pay tribute to those who came before me and blazed the trail. I was surprised you played the call, though, because I thought the smack-off was supposed to be for callers on the day. But it's your show. You can do whatever you want. I just hope he calls later so we can find out if his game translates to 2019. And not only that, but Brad, too, you know. I respect what he was willing to do to keep the smack-off title out of Canada. He slipped into those gimmicky little britches and pranced around his high-voltage backyard. But it's going to take a lot more than a pair of plum smugglers to bring home the 5K this year, especially with the smack that he and Leff have been running the past few months. We go to Laguna. Leff and Laguna. Leff, what's up? Hey, not much, Jimmy. I just want to let you know that Brad lives under power lines. Out. And then Brad hits him back with, yeah, hey, Jim, left here. He's got big ears. Late. Hey, Jim, Brad has a small dong. Out. I mean, is this what passes for smack these days? These are the last four champions? Two guys that ostensibly call each other through you? Am I going to tune into the show in 5 years and have to listen to Brad call in with, hey, Jim, Brad here. I just want to let Left know that we're out of milk. If he could stop and pick some up on the way home, that'd be great. And I didn't appreciate the beer cans. He left in the bathroom garbage. It's why we have recycling bins. I don't know how many times I have to tell him. And it's not about the beer cans. It's that he never thinks about my feelings and my sister's getting a divorce and I don't want to turn into my mother. Guys, quit flirting. Exchange numbers already. Cut the middleman and leave us out of it. In closing, Jim, I'm not going to sit here and beg. I'm not going to read you my resume or my pedigree. You know it already. I'm a wonderful person. I'm a wonderful man. I'm one of the best to never do it. You said it yourself. But I will make this point. Your new favorite vacation spot is Backwoods, Wisconsin. You're sending your kid to the University of Wisconsin. Hit the trifecta, puss. And if you do, this will be my first decree. Please rise and remove your caps for the singing of our national anthem. Caleb in Green Bay, he's the man. Caleb in Green Bay's got great smack. Caleb in Green Bay says, I want to win the smack off, yeah. Caleb in Green Bay's a great, 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 great caller to the jungle. He's from Green Bay, he's a fine clone, I'll take him all day. Uh-oh, Caleb in Green Bay, he trashes every clone that gets put in his general direction. He's a tremendous caller. Yeah, yeah, Caleb in Green Bay, he's very good at making calls. A clone steps up to Caleb in Green Bay, he trashes him, that's what he does. He's a wonderful person, he's a wonderful man. Clones, the new hit single, Caleb in Green Bay is a Great Caller, is available right now on iTunes and Spotify. I'm not joking. Bump it in your car. Bump it at your workplace. Bump it on your Peloton. Romy, we in America's Dairyland thank you for your consideration. We are the Walrus. We are ready for our first smack-off title. We are out. Say it with me, Lorelei. On, Wisconsin.
Caleb. Love that. That's a really creative moment. Vivid Seats, because they back up every purchase with a 100% buyer guarantee. Download the Vivid Seats app or visit vividseats.com. All right, this is the last call segment, probably, before we announce the winner. It could come down to the last two guys that are responsible for the last four wins. Conceivably, will they rise up and rip it again, or are we going to have a first-time winner? This guy has cemented legendary status in a very short period of time. You may love this guy, you may hate this guy, but you cannot deny that he changed the event from the day he showed up. If he wins today, it'll be his third win in 4 years. Around here, we got a word for that. Dynasty. So much is on the line right now. Let's see what he's got. We go to the 2016 and 2017 champ, looking to make it 3 and 4 years, Lef in Laguna. Hey, Lef.
How you doing, Jimmy?
Good, bro. How about you?
Good, man. Hey, huge congrats for Smack Off 25. Hey, Mike, good call. You do understand Rome is trolling you by calling it the Silver Smack Off, right? And you're right. I did sabotage your call by letting you make it yourself. Hey, Shawnee, what city does Brad live in again? Coroma? Bro, we don't need you back in the jungle. We already have a fat, pale, bald dude in Cream Bay. I'm cool just calling him Caleb in Asian and letting you go back to hosting a local show from 10 to midnight, okay? And Caleb, I liked listening to the newest hit single from the jungle's oldest fat single. And Benny, two words you don't want to hear from Romy after your call. Tactical error. Tactical error number two. Benny was upset to find out the prize was $5,000 again this year. Yeah, judging by those teeth he sports, he was hoping for something else, Jimmy, like a new grill. And I'm not talking about a Masterbuilt. Benny, the only crown you need is on those two front beaver teeth you sport.
Actually, Lef, as the jungle dentist, technically those aren't beaver teeth. That space between his upper and lower teeth is called an anterior open bite. It's from sucking your thumb well into adulthood or inbreeding.
Ah, thanks, Doc Mike. I was wondering why a dude with decent hair would part his teeth down the middle. And great call earlier from Rick in Buffalo. Jimmy, do you know why this guy yells so much? So we can't hear his hands running over the braille dots on his script. His glasses are so thick, Mark in Hollywood wants to wrestle with them. Hey, Jimmy, why does Drake attend every Toronto Raptors game? Does he think they're the Toronto Rappers? Because I don't see Kenny G attending any Jazz games or Siegfried and Roy at Tigers games. Although, now that I think of it, I have seen Brad and Corona sitting courtside at a UC Irvine Anteaters game. He was trying to convince them to play shirts and skins. Whoa, what the hell? Everybody, turn on to CBS Sports Network. There's footage of some dude streaking outside your studio. I think that's Brad. If we only had broadcaster Kevin Harlan narrate that.
Hey, Lef, Kevin Harlan here. Some lady is running through the parking lot. Some goofball in a visor and white panties. She's running by the 50. Her panties say sports takes on her ass. To the 30! That's not a lady, that is Brad and Corona! He's got small junk, but there he goes! Somebody stop that man!
Kevin, I'll take it from here. Brad, I'm about to take you down with so much brutality, NFL players are going to be kneeling in protest. I'm going to hit you so hard, you'll need your own play-by-play. Kevin, Doc Mike Dottola, let's do this. Jimmy, in a year where the Miss America pageant got rid of the swimsuit competition, the Smack-Off ads one, if I can't see Miss Rhode Island in some butt floss, I sure as hell don't need to see Miss Corona in a dong thong.
Oh, and the Laguna Beach bully squares up, sets his feet, and gives Brad a wedgie all the way over his head!
No doubt, Kevin. That atomic wedgie's gonna leave Brad with a pretty swollen moose knuckle.
Brad, last year you said your ass tastes, quote, delicious. Dude, how do you know what your own ass tastes like? Are you super flexible now? Have you been doing yoga? Is this a scratch-and-sniff situation? Although, judging by that lean physique, I can tell you're a real salad connoisseur.
Oh! Brad can taste his own butt! Disgusting!
Good God, and I thought Kawhi's game winner against the Sixers got a lot of rim.
Hey, Brad, shout-out to the photographer who takes all your glamour shots, your boy Reggie. He's a real pro, isn't he, Brad? Does he know how to edit photos? Because I'm pretty sure I saw Carl Wallenda tightrope walking on those power lines in your backyard.
He's heating up.
And he charges $325 an hour? Brad, with that baby carrot you sport, you should see if he can charge you by the inch.
He's on fire!
Brad, if the point of your pictures last year was to prove Americans are not all fat, maybe tell Reggie to keep his fat ass out of the reflection of your Ray-Bans.
Bang! Left has the call. Top of the key. Is this the dagger?
Brad, next time remember the camera adds 10 pounds. Tell Reggie to aim that thing at your junk.
Oh! Game! Series! Smack off! And now down to Doc Mike, who is with the winner.
Thanks, Kevin. Brad's favorite nerd here with the winner. Left, you made winning that look easier than winning a juggling contest against that drummer from Def Leppard. What Smack Off win is this for you?
Third!
Nicely done. And since Brad defends his crown about as well as John Wayne Bobbitt, what place will he come in today?
Third!
I think he's talking about you, Bradley.
Hey, Brad, say cheese.
17 champ looking to make it 3 and 4 years. All right, now, this is it. The moment we've all been waiting for. He is the four-time champ. He is looking to tie the all-time mark of 5. In order to do that, he's got to do something he has never done before. That is go back-to-back, successfully defend the title. Let's see if this is it. He's going to close the show. The wait is over. The time is now. We go to the BIC. Brad in Corona. How you feeling, Brad?
I'm feeling good, Jim Rome. How are you doing today, my friend?
So good. Doing great.
Oh, that's fantastic. You know, the gimmicks are really flowing like wine right now. Love that stutter at the critical part at the end of Lef's phone call right now before he went to the rest of his pre-recorded audio clips. Lef, I'm pretty sure your producer got carpal tunnel syndrome during that phone call. He was jamming so many buttons. And by the way, that call was pretty much the same call you made in 2016, except you fired Rich Ackerman for a crappy Kevin Harlan impersonator, which sucks because Rich could really use the work right now, dude. Hey, I love that song by Caleb. Kind of bummed, though. Caleb, about 10 more seconds of that song, and I was going to get to hear my favorite song. That's not a good call. I don't like that call. Also, Mike and Indy, I'm so confused. Does this mean you didn't get the $5,001 you needed to pay off your debt to the Rent-A-Wheels Corporation? Hey, I'm not sure, Jimmy, if the Cablination is stupid or if he's just desperate, but it took huge stones for you to show up today, Shawnee, after all the crap you talked about Rome and his show back in the day. I'm glad you Googled everyone in the Smack-Off. While you were blathering about your Google results, I Googled Sean Pendergast net worth, and Google just came back with showing results instead for guys who will still be on the radio in 12 months. Shawnee, you're on the radio once a week, Sunday nights from 6 to 10. Great time slot, bud. What are you, auditioning to be the next Rich Ackerman? I heard CBS was actually considering just broadcasting dead air, but they figured if they could get you for the same price, then what the hell, you know? Sean, I hope your once-a-week radio ratings are as high as your cholesterol levels, which have to be through the roof, judging by those pics you sent in today. Romy, check out those pics of the Cablination. Not the ones where he looks like Danny DeVito playing the Penguin. I'm talking about the other ones with his triple chin. I'm not saying Sean Pendergast is fat, Jim. I'm just saying, dude thought Orange Theory was a new flavor of Ben and Jerry's. Anyway, RIP to Shawnee's radio career and his pulmonary arteries. At this point, it's a toss-up as to which one's going to go first. But personally, Jim, I'm rooting for the arteries. Speaking of other guys who look like they're about to have a heart attack, Rick in Buffalo did a great job screaming through his call today. He's a funny guy, Jim, calling his mother-in-law a skank, talking about his two-year-old's private parts. That's hysterical. I mean, I know this is radio. I just wish the guy weren't so gosh-damned ugly, Jim. Rick in Buffalo is so ugly when he and his wife have sex, she has to close her eyes and pretend he's Tony Kornheiser. And much like PTI, that only gets her about 3 good minutes out of Rick. Hey, great call by Mark in Hollywood. Guys, I don't know if you know this. Mark's last name is Charon, which means his initials are MC, which is sad because the only ceremony Mark's ever mastered is sliding a Dixie cup full of millions of tiny Mark Charons across the counter at his local sperm bank once a week, or as often as permitted by California law. Jimmy, maybe I'm getting soft in my old age here, but I just want to show my appreciation for all the good times I've had in the jungle over the years by giving a little back, which is why when I win today, I'm guaranteeing that I will use the money to buy our homeless brother, Ira Craig, his very own Casper mattress using the promo code Rome. It's about giving back, Jim. Hey, Ira, if you're listening, can you get Hawk your exact coordinates so I can let the Casper people know which freeway underpass we're delivering to? I don't want Mark in Hollywood swooping in on the delivery and stealing it just so he can sell it for crack. Finally, Jimmy, there's been a lot of talk from you about how this might be the final smack-off. This cannot be the final smack-off, Jim. I don't really need to hear an extra interview every day with a Ball State women's lacrosse coach, no offense. I'd much rather hear Benny and Wisco calling in, stuttering over his gimmicky script like Mike and Indy while he encourages me to go drink a beer out of Luis and Palmdale's prosthetic leg over at Hennessy's. There is nothing better to me. This is not over, Jimmy. In the words of Walter White, we're done when I say we're done.
The BIC, looking to go back-to-back, looking to get to 5. Let's get to it now. Let me run down the top 10 for you quickly. Bottom to top. Coming in 10th place, the Silver Smack-Off Anniversary. Silver Anniversary Smack-Off. Remember, the winner gets $5,000. Second place gets nothing. 10th place, my man D.A. D.A. coming in 10th. He went long. That was a long-form takedown of Matt in L.A. It's not personal. It's business. My man D.A. Great to have you on the show, D.A. Appreciate you, brother. Number 9, my man Jay Stu. A strong, strong showing from a cagey vet. And that's what you've come to expect from Stu. This guy actually did really well. A golden ticket recipient. How about the golden ticket winner showing up and cracking the top 10? I'm talking about Dan in Denver. That was really well done. Didn't go too long. Had a few great moments, made an impact. Dan, you should be proud of yourself. I'm proud of you. Number 7. Now, this is really interesting. This guy had a really good call going. In fact, a great call, but I made the point at the end of the call. I thought that he made a tactical error. Benny and Wisco, 7th, and was going to finish way higher than that, I thought. Number 6, this is where things get really interesting. Number 6, Lef. I thought that Lef started out really strong. The return of Doc Mike, I thought was awesome. Just didn't hold the line after that. Wasn't strong enough to finish after that. Started really strong, and then I thought just kind of petered out. Lef is number 6, which brings us to the top 5. Coming in 5th, this guy showed up strong. Took some really strong runs at the Cabernation and the rest of the crew. Only good enough for 5. Mike and Indy. And I thought with that big reveal, I expected more. The big reveal left me wanting a little bit. In 4th, he made a return. Not quite triumphant enough. This is why he's a champ. He did spot everybody a 12-year lead. He was smooth. He was strong. He was good. Good enough for 4th. The Cowboy Asian came back. I thought he had a strong showing. Not strong enough, though, to pad that lead. He's stuck on 5. Which brings us to the top three. You know who the three are that are remaining. It's only a matter of what order we have them. Coming in third, Caleb. I thought his Jason Avant play was brilliant. Really strong. Caleb always delivers. I really think that Caleb's going to win one of these things. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. Quickly. The big two. Who do you think is going to win this thing? Is he going to go back-to-back for the first time? Or is that loud, angry, violent dude in Buffalo going to win for the first time? Runner-up, number two, Rick in Buffalo. Brother, I mean, holy crap, what a dominant showing that was from Rick in Buffalo. Taking that run at DA, screaming at everybody, threatening everybody. Rick, you got nothing to be ashamed of. You'll be pissed because you always are. But that was a great showing, Rick. Well done. Which means your champion is, for the fifth time, the winner of the 25th Smack Off, the Silver Anniversary Smack Off. It is the BIC. This is why he's your five-time champ. Absolutely effortless. He responded to everybody. Recapped it all. We go to the phones. He won it again. The BIC, the 09, the 2011, 2015, 2018, and now 2019 champ, Brad in Corona. Bradley, you did it again. How you feeling?
Jimbo, I want you to make that check payable to Hennessy's Tavern, LLC. And line up those shots over there, boys, and get Luis and Palmdale ready. Benny, your scope is going to happen, baby. I'm headed over there. Romy, will you join me for a drink? Are you going to pee on yourself with Hawk and the rest of the crew? Come on, baby. Get out there.
I hear you. That's it.
Yeah,
something
is
I'm thinking
a no
about.
Or a yes?
That's not a yes. That's not a yes.
Woo! Fired up, Jim Rome. Thank you, man.
Brad,
you
did it. You know, I ask you every single time you do this, Brad. How does this one compare to the others?
It was awesome, man. Honestly, all great calls. I love the Smack Off. I just sit here and crack up to these guys like while the thing is happening. It's a little stressful, but it's sweet, man. It's good to have Shawnee in here. It's good to put him in his place and show him what's up. Yeah, I appreciate it, man, like I always do. Thank you so much.
Brad, no, I appreciate you. You make it great, and I take it to heart what you said. We're going to come back for another year. You have earned the right to try to defend. All right, Brad. Talk to you soon. He did it to BIC. And that makes five.
Good night.